Hi, this is Keith Hall with Jazz Currents. Join me as we explore the music of saxophonist John Coltrane. In the next two episodes of Jazz Currents, we'll celebrate what would have been the 90th birthday of saxophonist John Coltrane. Now, even though Coltrane had a relatively short career, his artistry made a profound impact on jazz with his numerous innovations as a composer, saxophonist, and bandleader. John Coltrane was born in 1926 in Hamlet, North Carolina. He began on the clarinet and then switched to alto saxophone in high school after listening to Lester Young and Johnny Hodges. His first recordings were in 1946 as a member of Dexter Culbertson's U.S. Navy band stationed in Hawaii. After World War II, Coltrane began working with Dinah Washington and Earl Bostic. Coltrane soon switched over to the tenor saxophone as a member of Eddie Cleanhead Vincent's band and was performing with saxophone legend Jimmy Heath. The two were members of Dizzy Gillespie's orchestra beginning in 1949. Gillespie also formed a sextet, and it's here in 1951 from Birdland in New York City where we hear Coltrane's first recording on the tenor saxophone. This is Gillespie's most famous composition, A Night in Tunisia. John Coltrane continued to work as a sideman with various artists and then became a member of the Miles Davis Quintet in 1955. He made a series of significant recordings with Miles, along with pianist Red Garland, bassist Paul Chambers, and drummer Philly Joe Jones, in what is usually referred to as the first great Miles Davis Quintet. Their first recording session in October 1955 would eventually be released as the album Roundabout Midnight. Let's hear Two Bass Hit. Thank you. 1956 and 1957, Coltrane was also performing with Thelonious Monk, Mal Waldron, and an important but less known composer, Tad Dameron. Coltrane and Dameron recorded an album called Mating Call. Let's hear a bit of the Tad Dameron composition, presumably written for the saxophonist. This is Soul Train. As a member of the Miles Davis Quintet, Coltrane continued to record on many important albums, including Relaxin', Workin', Cookin', and Steamin'. By this time, Coltrane was developing his own sound. However, he'd also developed a heroin addiction. It was getting out of control, and Miles just could not deal with him anymore. So Coltrane was fired in April 1957. After going back to Philadelphia to get clean, Coltrane signed a recording contract with Prestige Records and went into the studio to record his first album as a leader. It included Johnny Splawn on the trumpet, Sahib Shihab on baritone saxophone, pianists Mal Waldron and Red Garland, bassist Paul Chambers, and drummer Albert Tootie Heath. Referring to his personal growth and kicking his drug habit, this is Coltrane's composition and the title track from Straight Street. Thank you. Coltrane continued to develop and began experimenting with a more open group sound. He recorded without a piano player on the album Lush Life with bassist Earl May and drummer Art Taylor. This left more room for him to explore as an improviser. In the same year of 1957, Coltrane recorded one of his more well-known albums called Blue Train, and it had a stellar cast including trumpeter Lee Morgan, trombonist Curtis Fuller, pianist Kenny Drew, Paul Chambers on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on the drums. This is Moment's Notice. Thank you. Throughout the 50s, Coltrane and Thelonious Monk continued to work together. And when Miles Davis heard them, he wanted to work with Coltrane again, now that he had kicked his habit. Miles invited him back to record, and we now hear a clean living Coltrane with the addition of alto saxophonist Cannonball Adderley on the title track from Milestones. Coltrane continued to work with Miles, Milt Jackson, and even pianist Cecil Taylor. Taylor was stretching the boundaries and moving away from conventional jazz styles. Eventually, he became a free jazz pioneer. And this is also where Coltrane would land years later. Let's hear a bit of John Coltrane with Cecil Taylor playing the standard Just Friends. ...1959 produced some groundbreaking records in jazz, and two of the most important included John Coltrane. The first album was recorded in March with Miles Davis. His album, Kind of Blue, explored a modal approach towards improvising that Coltrane would eventually bring to his own quartet in the 60s. second album was Coltrane's own Giant Steps. The title track originated as a difficult exercise that Coltrane had developed and had been practicing for over a year. It included fast, moving chord changes in a challenging sequence. The version of the song Giant Steps that many people are familiar with is from the original release of this album, featuring Tommy Flanagan on piano, bassist Paul Chambers, and drummer Art Taylor. However, the first recording session from a month earlier includes pianist Cedar Walton, bassist Paul Chambers, and drummer Lex Humphries. Let's hear this earlier version of Giant Steps. Join us next time for the second half of our Spotlight on John Coltrane. I'm Keith Hall, and Jazz Currents is produced at WMUK with support provided by the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation and the Western Michigan University School of Music. Be sure to check out WMUJazz.com for upcoming jazz events. And make sure you get out and experience some live jazz. See you soon.